We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
My name is Chapman Laxton, and I am the youth pastor here at Christian Ministries Church, and I'm so excited that you are with us today. If you are joining us for the first time or you're listening to us for the first time online, what you have to know is that we've been talking about something that's kind of a big deal if you're a Christian, and it's faith. And specifically about faith, what we've been talking about is how, if we are going to be righteous, how we're going to live by faith. Because the word says that the righteous shall live by faith, and it says that in a whole lot of different places in the word. But it's important that we understand how to do this, and not that I'm continuing necessarily what Pastor Ashley specifically has been preaching on. However, what you got to know is today I'm going to talk about how to live by faith, and I've got a direction that I feel like I want to go to. But we have to see that as Christians we live in a world that we don't fight by the same methods and live by the same methods that the world does. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And I want to make sure that we see that when it's talking about we demolish arguments and every pretension, that doesn't mean on Facebook. Okay? Contrary to popular belief, that doesn't mean on Instagram. Okay? We're not demolishing every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God on our social media platforms. Okay? The place where we are doing this and where we should be doing this is first internally, and then immediately to the people that are around us. Okay, so I want to make sure that we see that that's not God giving you the green light to go ahead and, all right, start raging war, son, on Facebook, okay? Because I've never seen someone get a conversion through that way. But if you do, let me know. But we have to see the way that we wage war is different than the way that the world wages war. And it requires us to do some things that are going to be different than the way that the world does them. If we're going to wage war differently, then we're going to have to do them differently. Okay, and Ephesians 6 talks about this in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle," here we go again, "our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil and in heavenly realms." In the same way that I wouldn't want you to be confused about the last passage of Scripture, I don't want you to be confused about this. Don't think that just because our war is against heavenly forces and evil powers that are set up, that there aren't people who are operating under the influence of evil. Okay? It can be a hard thing to grasp. Well, we don't fight as the world fights. Right. But what you got to know is we live in the world. And there are people, just as we are operating under the influence of our Lord and Savior, trying to operate how the kingdom operates, there are people that are operating for the other side. So what do we do? Well, we have to understand that even though our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, it's in the flesh and blood that we have to fight our fights, and we fight our fights a different way. Because like Matthew 26:52 says, where Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he says, "Put your sword back in its place, for all those," and this is the Amplified, "all those who habitually draw the sword will die by the sword." See, if we go around trying to fight the flesh and blood, trying to fight the way that the wages and the wars and the things that we have to fight continuously only end, if our first answer is always, then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to live that way. And another translation says, "Those that live by the sword will die by the sword." So we've been called to live another way, and that's what we've been talking about, right? The righteous are going to have to live by faith. We're going to have to choose to live by faith. So if we're to live by faith, we have to continually hear about what faith is and how do we come by it. And we know that we've read this scripture. We know what the word says. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I love us getting that mental picture that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what we have to see is that faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. And it comes, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps being restored, and you keep getting more, and you keep. It doesn't visit one time upon hearing one time, and then you're set. Your faith is something that you ought to be looking to continue to have come and visit you, so you can continue to have more and more. Hearing, we've talked about that, that hearing isn't just a one-time thing. It doesn't say faith came because you heard. Faith comes continually by your continual hearing. So then what we have to see is that our faith can continue to be built up. And it doesn't stop in one place. And if we want to be successful, if we want to be successful in tearing down the arguments first inside of us, if we want to be successful in tearing down the strongholds first inside of us so that then we can be a help to those around us and tear down the strongholds in their lives, right? Then we're going to have to see that our faith has to be built up more and more and more. My title today is Gather Up Arrows. Gather Up Arrows. And I'm going to be teaching from 2 Kings chapter 13 today, and that's really going to be our main passage of Scripture. So if you guys want to go ahead and get turned there, you can as I set this up. I want us to just continue to get that mental picture that faith comes by hearing. That faith comes by hearing, and it's a continual process. I don't want us to see faith as something that it's a one-stop shop. We get it one time, and then we're done, and then we try to operate off of the faith that we had when we were six, or the faith that we had whenever we were 13, or the faith that we had last year whenever we went to a youth conference. We talk to our youth all about that all the time. Guys, this is an experience. It's fantastic. But this isn't everything that for the next 25, 35 years, this is what you live your life based off of. It's a continual process. And as adults, sometimes we get in that place where we lose that. I don't want us to ever lose that, especially if we're going to be talking about faith. But see, in that same vein, ooh, there's a pen up here. This is not a problem. But in that same vein, as we continually see that it's that faith comes by hearing, if we're going to continue to see faith coming into our life and our faith being built up, we're going to have to see our responsibility in that process. We have to see that God wants to work through us, yes. But how is he going to work? And oftentimes we miss opportunities for God to work through us because we're all the time think that we're operating in faith and we're saying, God, who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? Who's going to make this happen? Lord, who's going to do that? God, I don't know how you're going to dig that ditch, but Lord, only you can dig it. God, I don't know who's going to pick this place up around here, but Lord, only you're going to be able to do that. Lord, who's going to make this church be cleaned? God, who's going to turn the lights on? Who's going to make the sound work? I don't know, Lord, but only you. Matthew 9 says, and he said unto them that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So what we got to get to a place is God's not looking for any more people to help him manage what's going on. We got three people at the top of this thing, right? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, we reign with him. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got this management part. What he's looking for is some laborers. What God's looking for is some people who are going to take up their faith, bolster their faith, and grow their faith. So that in faith, we can look to do our part. Faith is going to be us looking for opportunities to exercise what we believe and walk out in action what we hold to be true. That's what our faith is. And so I want us to get that concept before we get into this passage of Scripture today. We've got to see faith more than just, God, when are you going to do? We've got to start seeing that God's waiting on us to start stepping out. All right, you guys with me? Are we at that point? Okay, so 2 Kings chapter 13, if you're not there, so sorry. We're going to have it up here so you can watch. or read or listen. Whatever works for you, all right? Now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. And Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows, and he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and shoot it. Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. And Elisha told him, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. Before I break this down, I want to first say what is so incredible to me about this passage that I think that we've got to get is that as I just read it, just for what it is that the trembling, dying hands of Elisha signified the power of God. The power of God was working through the trembling hands of Elisha. And this gave the arrows and the king of Israel more strength than what the king had in his youth. See, the king had an opportunity here. And what you have to know if you know 1 Kings and 2 Kings, it always goes like this. It's like, this king so-and-so was a good king, and he lived for some years, and then he died. And then his son was terrible, and he did this. And his son was, you thought he was bad? Well, his son was even worse than this guy was, and he kicked dogs, and this guy did worse things than he. So it like goes like that. Well, here's what you got to know. What's really crazy about this story, Jehoash was not a good king. As a matter of fact, it says that he was an evil king. If you read this in the context of the scripture, this guy was an evil king. But let me tell you what's really cool about this story to me is that he recognized what Elisha had. He recognized who on whose behalf Elisha moved on. And because of that, he came to him and said, my father, help me. And I think it's just a really cool part of this story that we've got to see that even when we may not be doing things completely right, even when you may not be living your life how you think you should be living it, if you can come to a place of repentance, God's ready to meet you right where you're at. And I just want to start us off with that because I just think it's really cool. But going forward from this, what I think is revealed to us about this story and what this kind of my theme for this in gathering up our arrows is that faith is something that is garnered, not granted. Faith is something that's gathered up, not given. Now, hear me. To each man, the word says, there is a measure of faith that's poured out. But you get to decide how big you want that faith to grow to. You get to decide to what degree that your faith gets to grow to. And again, remind yourself that faith comes by hearing. And it continually comes by hearing. And it continually grows by hearing. We've got to gather up our arrows. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. The thing about growth is that it places a responsibility on us. And that's where sometimes we lose our want to. See, whenever we begin to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and the maturity of the Lord, what comes with it is responsibility. And the Bible talks to that. The Bible talks that there's a process of that. And for some of us, we should be at a place where we should maybe be a little bit further along. Hebrews 5:11 says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you are no longer trying to understand. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. For anyone who lives on milk being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Who did the righteous train? Who did the mature learn to train? They learned to train themselves. The mature learn to train themselves in their faith. The mature learn to train themselves in their faith. And now what that doesn't mean is that we need, well, I can just stay home and don't have to go to church. Well, okay, you're not mature. You don't see the need of the church. Well, what I'm saying is that the mature learn that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And if you're really, really mature, what you begin to learn is two meals a week ain't going to cut it. Two times of me going to church isn't going to cut it. If I'm going to see myself go to the next level, if I'm going to see myself grow and mature, then I'm going to have to eat more than two times a week. How much strength, how much faith? And as we grow in our responsibility to train ourselves, our dependency on God never leaves. Okay? See, our dependency is still the same. We still depend on God because everything comes from Him. But what we gain is we gain a level of maturity and we begin to see that, okay, God is expecting me to do some things. See, my children are really, really young right now. Jones 3, Olive's 1, and then we got 1 still cooking. All right? My children are very, very young right now. So the level of responsibility for them in my house is very, very small. But as they eat the food that I get for them, as they eat the meals that I serve them, as they grow, I serve. Yeah, I do serve them. I didn't say I cook them. Hey, microwave meals are still meals, okay? But as they eat and grow and learn, what happens for them in my house? They're able to do more things. Their dependency on me, though, is the same. They still depend on me, but the responsibility and the relationship that we have grows and matures. Come on. It's the same thing with us in the house of the Lord. God is trying to grow us and mature us and take our faith to a place where it's not just about us anymore. The great thing about Joan is that she can actually help around the house with some things, with some supervision. Olive's not quite there yet. But Joan can help pick up. Joan can help clean up. Joan can help us, hey, go get that, go get this. You guys get what I'm saying? It's little things that we grow and we mature. And just like this, we start with milk of the word and then we grow and mature in the Lord. Because what we do is we continue to hear and our faith continues to come and build up. Y'all follow me? Okay. So this story, what it shows us is that God intends us to bless, or God intends to bless the nations through the maturity of His kids. God intends, and that's what I love about this church. That's what I love about what Pastor Ashley teaches on and is really, really big on. It's not to say that we can't ever pray for our nation or pray for, Lord, help the nation to be blessed. Lord, help the nation to come into to where you would have it to be. But where that's going to have to start, the tearing down of strongholds is going to have to start, is with the people in this room. If the church can't step up, and if the church can't take on the responsibility that it's supposed to take on, how are we ever going to expect things just right down the road, things at your local high school, things at the local wherever, to ever go to the next level if we can't operate and function as we're supposed to? We've got people in here who own businesses and who work for businesses. How are we ever going to expect our society to change if the Christians who are owning businesses and working for businesses can't treat people right or work for people the right way? We've got to grow and mature. We've got to grow and mature. God, help those poor, shivering people. God, those poor people whose house just got knocked over. God, please send someone to help that poor old lady who's changing her tire in the rain. God, send somebody. Send someone. As we drive past them right into Brahms, yeah, I'll take a number four. And yeah, you know what? I would like to substitute my drink out for a large shake. And all the while, the way we're looking at blessing in our faith and things is that we, as long as I'm okay, we're trying to get to a place where for our faith is helping the people around us. And that's where I believe that gathering up our arrows is trying to do within this story. So here we go. I've got 4 points. I've got 4 points today. As we break this story down and we learn some things about what I think that God is trying to show us in an Old Testament story. Here's what's really, really cool. In an Old Testament story, the same way that faith was taught on and walked out is the same way it is in the New Testament. Different covenants, different time frames, but in the same way, in an Old Testament story, I want to show you some New Testament principles of how us in the New Covenant can operate in our faith, okay? So the first point I've got, and it has to start here, honor always leads to opportunity. Honor always leads to opportunity. It starts with honor. Honor God. Honor the people that God puts in your life. Honor. Starts with honor. Verse 14 out of 2 Kings 13, it says, "Now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. And Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. 'My father,' he cried." Well, I've already told you, King Jehoash was not a good man. But you want to know what he got right? He honored Elisha. He honored Elisha. And because he honored Elisha and because he honored who Elisha represented, oh, come on, we're getting into some New Testament stuff. Elisha honored him. If we come to a place where we can just honor Jesus Christ, if we can honor what he said and what he did, it's going to open us up to some opportunities. Honoring the men and women God has placed over us will get us into the favor with the Lord. We need their wisdom. We need their provision. We need the life that they have lived. And what we have to see, and whenever I say older than us, I'm not just talking about the people who are still in their 20s, like some of us in here. I'm going to milk this for all it's worth because I've still got a couple more months of that. I don't know how many times I preach, but I'll have to try to fit it in there. But it's not the responsibility, because I've heard this said, it's not the responsibility of the elders to do something to make us honor them. It's our responsibility to honor them first. Now, don't get me wrong. There are honorable people and dishonorable people. But what you have to know is that Elisha didn't go do some favor for Joash for then Joash to go, "I recognize he is a man of God." No, he saw what was inside of Elisha and said, "I'm going to go and weep because of what you have done for the country of Israel, what you have done for the kingdom of God, Father, Father." Who are you honoring? Are you like doing what Exodus 20:12 says? The Ten Commandments here. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. Do you honor your mother and father? And let me tell it to you like this, because some of you guys, either you didn't know your mom or your dad, or you didn't have that opportunity. Do you honor your spiritual mothers and fathers? Do you have a spiritual mother and father that you look to, that you're submitted to? You know, I'm not just saying this just because he's my boss and I'm honoring him right now. But let me tell you what happens if Pastor Ashley tells me to do something. I say, "Yes, sir," and I do it because that's honoring to him. Even if I think I might have a better idea. You want to know why? Because he didn't come to me and say, "I'm going to make you be my spiritual father," or "I'm going to make you be my spiritual son. And you're going to do what I say." I came to him and said, "I want you to mentor me. I want you to be my spiritual father. You are my spiritual father. I look to what you're saying and what you're doing." So if he tells me to do something, I say, "Yes, sir," and I do it. The word talks about this in a few other different lights. You know, 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Youth groups love this verse. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. You're not looking down on me. That's the mentality that we get. Don't let anyone, you're not looking down on me because I'm young. That has to do with you. Don't do something dumb. Don't let an older person look at you and go, golly, they're young and dumb. Don't do something that's going to put people who are over you in spiritual authority, an elder in the church, someone else to look at you and go, golly, what are you doing? Instead, act in wisdom. You know, one of my favorite things that I've heard people tell me, and this has happened, you know, believe it or not, for a larger part of my life, people have always said, I thought you were older than what you actually were. People have told me that. People have always said that to me. And I've always been encouraged by that. Not to say that I've never made a mistake or that I've never, you know, done something wrong, but people have always said that to me, that they've said, I just could have swore you were older. I take that as a compliment. Because what that means is that I'm for the most part, I'm making sure I'm not getting a side eye from my wife. I'm acting in wisdom. That I'm acting in wisdom. I want that. I want to make sure that I'm trying to do my best to set an example in speech and in conduct and in love and in faith and purity. And I love what Hebrews 13:17 does, is it kind of just, again, just builds on this same point. But it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they watch over you as those who must give an account. Submit to those who are in authority over you. Who's in authority over you? Let me ask you that. Who's in authority over you? Oh, I don't know. Okay, well then chances are you're probably not submitted to them. Chances. And it goes on to say this. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. There are times, and I know, because she has told me, Melanie, who is a spiritual mother to me, she has come and told me, you need to chill out. Right now, this is not, we've got to fix something. What you have to know is that I feel like I receive that from her, and I want to change what I do because I don't want Melanie, who I see myself submitted to not look at me as I walk through the door and go, oh God, here we go again. It's going to be of no benefit to me. It's no benefit to us whenever the people who we're supposed to be submitted to see us coming and go, oh, geez, Lord, help me. God, help them as you help me. It's not any benefit to us, okay? Let's submit. Let's submit to our authority. And if you're in here today going, I don't know, you have to know that the first place where this starts and you gathering up your arrows and you walking into more of a fullness of faith is you have to have some. You have to have some people who you're submitted to. So start there. Second point we have to do is we have to gather the elements necessary to secure our victory. Gather the elements necessary to secure our victory. In other words, we must gather our faith, or we must garner our faith. We must collect and add to what we need. Verse 15 out of 2 Kings says, Elijah said, get a bow and some arrows. Do you know what Jehoash went and got? He got exactly what he told him to get. He went and got a bow, and he went and got some arrows. Some of us are needing some victory in some places, financially, relationally, spiritually, mentally. Go and get what you need to help you secure your victory. Stop going to things that are not going to help you get your victory. Don't waste any time. Don't on your way to go get them. Go someplace else and then go another place and then go a different direction. I'll make it over there in just a little bit. Time is of the essence here. And in this story, time was of the essence. And obedience to what Elisha said was immediate. Go and get a bow and arrow and some arrows. And it says, and he did so. It says, take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elisha then put his hands on the king's hands. The blessing of God does not come in until you put your hands on what God has told you to put your hands on. God is waiting for you to get what you need to secure the things that you need. And then here comes the blessing. Well, God, here's the things you didn't ask for. You told me to go get bow and arrow. Here's a plate and a cup. That's not what he asked you to go get. Listen to the instructions that you've been given. And what you have to know is that the instructions that we have comes from the Word of God. What are you in need of? What victory, what area of victory are you in need of? Okay, get that. Don't get something else. Get that. Don't try to make the Word of God fit your predicament. Just get the Word of God and then do what it says. Listen to the instruction. Gather the things that are necessary for you to have your victory, not things that are not unnecessary. What I thought it was really interesting too in this story is that at this time, Jehoash's army had been completely depleted. They had just lost a huge war. And it says in the word that the only thing that he had were a few chariots and a few thousand foot soldiers. What you won't see in there is any archers. God wants to have you have victory in the one area that you're lacking. God will use the area that you're lacking in to let that be your major victory. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Okay. No, make them strong. Make them strong. Make your weak arms strong and your weak knees strong. Make the areas of your life that are weaknesses, make them strong. Oh, how do I do that? God is saying, go and get what I have given you. Go and get my word and take what I have given you. Remember, faith comes by hearing. And it continues to come by hearing. And it continues to come by hearing. Go and get what I have given you and make strong the things that are weak. The things that we are nervous to confront within ourselves. Those skeletons in the closet. Those areas that go, I'm a really good Christian. Okay, I've got that one thing. Okay, I've got those 10 things. Those major problems. What God is saying is quit hiding from them. Strengthen them. Your arms and your knees are weak. Strengthen them. And what we have to strengthen them isn't something that can't do the job. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. The word of God is active and alive. The word of God is active and alive. The word of God is active and alive. And what it wants to do is it wants to take the things that are weak inside of you and make them strong. And when you take the word and you build your faith up and you go and you get what you have been given and what you have been told to use, those areas will become strong. But you have to understand, the blessing of God is right here, and it is just waiting, See, a lot of people think that God's hand is up ready to strike them. But God's hand is up ready to put his hand of blessing upon you and put his hand upon you. Whenever Elisha's hands touched the king's hands, that's when the anointing came. What God is ready and waiting on you to do. Ready and waiting on you to do is for you to take the word up and take what you have been given and then apply it. And then here comes the blessing. Okay? We good with that? Here's the third thing. In gathering up our arrows, here's now what we have to do. We have to shoot and strike the ground. We have to shoot and strike the ground. We have to step out and operate and do now what the word says. In verses 17 and 18, it says, in 2 Kings chapter 13, it says, Elisha said, open the east window. And I just, just the simplicity of this. He said it, and then he opened it. Open the east window. And Jehoash ran and opened it. He didn't argue with Elisha. What are we doing? What are you asking me to do? He went and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. He said, this is the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. Now we're stopping at just a point. Because the next line says he struck it three times and stopped, and that's where we're going to get to the last point. But so far, Jehoash is so close. He's doing everything exactly as he's been told to do. And what we have to understand is this is what we have to do. God has gotten us to a place. He's armed us. He's given us everything. And there before us is our enemy, the different areas that we have, that we're trying to have victory in. We've got the word. We're ready to apply it. The anointing's upon it. And we stand over the top of it. We stand over that addiction. Or we stand over that hurt. We stand over that brokenness. We stand over that family line of things that's been passed down. Well, my great-granddad did this, and my granddad did this, and I... We stand over those areas. We've got everything. You've been so obedient. But the last step is now you have to kill it. Now you have to take the arrow and you have to drive it into the ground. You take what God has given you and you conquer what God has told you to conquer. Take the arrow, take the word, take the anointed word that you have taken up and that you believed in and that God has given you, and now drive it into the ground. Good. Conquer your enemy. Yep. Conquer your enemy. What area? Conquer your enemy. I just come from a family that's broken. You do not have to live in fear that your marriage will end in divorce. Conquer the enemy. My whole family, all we've ever done is you just don't know how to operate in money. I'm just so terrified that we're just going to be broke and we're never going to make right decisions. You take the word and you conquer the enemy there. You do not live in fear. My family's just, drunkenness is just, it ravages my family and alcohol and every, you take the word and you conquer the enemy. You do not have to live in fear in those areas. You do not, your kids don't have to live in fear because of those areas. You're starting a new family tree. But you have to take the word and you have to strike the ground. You have to strike the ground. You have to walk it out. And it's hard. Pastor Ashley taught on this a few weeks ago, but in John 11, verse 40, Lazarus is getting ready to come through. But what he said in the verse prior to this, he said, roll the stone out of the way. But it says, and Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you will believe that you will see the glory of God? Some of us are right there. We're right there. were right there on the edge, and you have done, you have listened, and you have, you agree, you believe, you trust, and you're just right there. And it's like that fear of success is just right there in front of you. Just do it. Just do it. Just roll that stone out of the way. Sometimes the stone that's in the way isn't the enemy, it's us. I love what Pastor said. Sometimes we're the stone. We've got to roll our own selves out of the way. Strike the ground. Mark 9:23. The father came talking about his son. He says, if you can heal my son. And Jesus says, if I can? Everything is possible for one who believes. It says immediately the boy's father exclaimed in verse 24, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. We've got to get out of our own way. We've got to get out of our own way. You're right there. You've got the word. You've met Jesus. You've encountered him. Don't lose hope. Romans 10, verses 11 and 13, or 11 through 13 says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. It's verse 11 right there. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses, I want you guys to repeat after me, all who call on him. All who call on him. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a finisher of faith. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a finisher of faith. And if you will do what the word says, and if you will strike the ground, and you will walk out your faith and with the word and the authority that you've been given, he's a rewarder. And you will not be put to shame. And here's my last point out of this story, because all this is great. All this is great. This is the last point. It's a question. And it's a question I want you to ask yourself. How full is your quiver? And how many arrows do you have? Because it can't be filled with something that's not there. So how full is your quiver? 2 Kings chapter 13, go back here for the last time, verses 18 and 19. Jehoash struck it three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram completely and destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. God can only operate in as big of a box as we want to put him in. Now, the ironic thing about that is that God can't fit into a box. But what we have to see is that God will only operate in the parameters that we set up for him to be successful in. God can only meet us where we're ready to see him move in. So my question to you is, how full is your quiver? How much faith are you saying that you have? To what lengths are you willing to go? Jehoash did have some faith. He had three arrows full. He had three arrows worth of it. How much do you have? James 1:8 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I don't personally believe, I want to give that one because it's a great one when we're talking about faith. I don't personally believe, though, that Jehoash wasn't in unbelief. I just don't think he knew all what God could do. And what we have to understand is that's just as dangerous. Just not knowing how powerful your God is just as dangerous as not believing in the first place. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Had Jehoash spent the majority of his life, the majority of his reign, trying to serve God and not serve himself and serve the kingdom, perhaps he would have had a better idea of who God was. Perhaps he would have made a few more decisions a little bit better here. Well, what I hope and what I pray is that we can hear this story. And whenever I ask you how full is your quiver, your mind goes to it's limitless. God can do anything. The possibilities are endless with God. There's not a point at which that I ever run out of ammo with God. You'll never run out of ammo with God. You'll never run out of opportunities in the sense of what he can do. He is limitless. But we have to understand how big of a box are we going to bring to put him in for each situation that we have. So in closing, I'd like to leave with just a couple more thoughts as we begin to see that the arrows that we gather up and the way that we put them into practice determine our success in areas that we're trying to have faith. We have to see that the word is our armament. And what that means is it's the place that we go to get our arrows. Okay? Whenever Elisha told Jehoash to go get arrows, he wasn't like, "Oh, where do we put those things at? Like, where am I going to go to get an answer?" However, sometimes I feel like we kind of act like that. We get bad news, or we have a problem or something, and I feel like a lot of times our first response is, "Where am I going to go to get a solution to that?" We go to the Word. The Word has to be our armament. We have to know right where we've got our answers every single time. We have to know. That's where we should go, first and foremost. We have to see that our faith isn't just meant for our ease of living. Even though that Jehoash didn't save his country as many times as he could have, he did save it 3 times. He did get victory over Aram, but it could have easily been exponentially more. It's our responsibility as we are matured in faith to be put in positions and contend for those around us and going to those around us to be a blessing. God is looking for opportunities to use you. God is looking for opportunities to use you. God is looking for opportunities to use your life, to use your relationship that you have with him to be able to be a blessing for other people. You are a son of the Most High. You are a daughter of the Most High. You being here on this earth has less to do with how comfy the air conditioning is at your house. What God is trying to do is he's trying to use your life to bless other people. That's why we have to make sure we've got our arrows gathered up. See, when we're operating in faith, we have to have faith in God, not the outcomes or reports that we've heard or seen. And I get it, because we've all said it. I'm just praying for this report, or I'm praying that I can get this job, or I'm praying that they don't say this or they don't say that. But what I want to ask you is, what do you do when that does come? Do you still believe that God can and will? I just encourage us all just to watch how we frame that. Because unintentionally, what we may be doing is we may be setting our expectation outside of the timing that God may be operating on. And when that happens, we may not get the report that we want to hear. And I don't want us to be in any danger of us losing any faith. In all of this, though, we have to see that God has given each of us opportunities to garner our faith to as much or as little as we see fit. He doesn't just give it out to special people, but the people that are content to let God be as big as he can be often see him as that. And that's where I'd love for us to see this church go to as each individual person in here takes their responsibility in the maturing of their own faith by training themselves up in gathering up their arrows.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.